straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
On Second Thought, episode 290, brought to you by Hook'em.com, our good friends at Bud Light. Ced Golden here with the Duck, Kirk Bowles. Duck, March Madness right around the corner, and the Texas Longhorn women are still stalking a Big 12 title. Vic Schaefer, head coach, joins us. The ladies will play at Kansas State at Bramlage Coliseum, 4 p.m. on Saturday. On ESPN Plus. Vic, how are you today?
And I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate the time.
Now, you're still steaming after the loss to Baylor. I know that didn't sit well with you.
No, it didn't. But you know how it is, Kirk, when you know, it's an emotional time after a game. And I think when you step back and look at, again, I'm not an excuse guy. Like, I try to be really accountable, but we were so limited on Monday night with our injury situation. No Sonya, second leading scorer. We lose Jocalinga at practice the day before. So our first sub off the bench at guard was a walk-on. Our first sub off the bench at the 3-4 was a freshman who didn't play well, had 6 turnovers, struggled mightily, And then we had a couple starters that just wasn't their night. And I thought Baylor really played well. I thought they played hard. Thought they really played with a lot of passion and purpose. Played like a team that was disappointed that they had lost to us in Waco. Right. And again, we had a big crowd. There was a lot of people in the building. And, you know, for whatever reason, we just didn't handle that very well. But we had a lot of things going against us, and one day of prep. I mean, you think about what our last 5 games have been and what potentially the K-State game could have been. They're already going to be good enough without her. But when this schedule was made out, y'all, they had a 6-6 All-American coming back. And so we finish at Iowa State, at Oklahoma, Baylor with one day of prep, at K-State. I don't think too many people were doing us any favors down the stretch. And, oh, by the way, you're not going to get a bye until the week of the 20-something. You know, so again, I'm not an excuse guy, and those excuses just don't matter. But we got a lot going on and a lot going against us, and it wasn't our night. And it's disappointing because we had 10,000 there. We had a great cause at senior night, but that isn't the first senior night that I've had that's turned into a train wreck. If you do it long enough, you're going to have some senior nights that are a wreck. And that one certainly was. But, you know, again, I just think you take a day. I took a day. You take a breath. There's still so much to play for, and you get ready to go play for it.
All you can do.
And you're 22-8, 13-4 in conference. On paper, that is right where you need to be at this time of the year. But you look at the MASH unit that's masquerading as a basketball team. Sonya Morris, quad, she's out Saturday. Aaliyah Moore, ACL, she's out. Kendall Hunter is not coming back. Deanna Gaston is running around with a bad back, and she might be the most improved big in the conference. And then you got your quarterback, your point guard, logging 37-38 minutes a game in Rory Harmon. Have you ever been through something like this with the injuries, Vic, in an otherwise pretty good season?
Yeah, no, never. I mean, you can throw Taylor in there. You know, she missed extensive time early in the year. She still doesn't practice, you know, the full practice. And I think that hurts her. I think that was evident on the defensive end the other night. She defensively, offensively, and rebounding, the kid played her guts out. But defensively, Hedging ball screens was a factor, and with all our bigs. And so it's just it's really hard to believe that we're 13-4 in the league with so many things that we've had to navigate throughout the course of the year. Hey, I'll even throw this in. Do you realize we weren't even able to get in our own building for a week leading up to the game Monday night because of concerts?
Really?
So our home court advantage is not a home court when you can't get in there to practice.
Wow. Couldn't get in there a week. Wow.
Well, see, that was when they signed, when they opened this Moody, and the schedule was so fat in the spring. Kirk, we talked about this. When is it going to come a day when Vic or then Chris Beard is going to need to practice before a game, and they're setting up for the weekend or George Strait?
Yep. Yeah. So we got in there Sunday night. We were able to get in there Sunday night, but because it's such a short turnaround, we're not in there very long. You know, I don't want to be in there very long. I don't want them doing a lot. So that was the first time we worked out in there since I don't think we were in there one time the week before. I'd have to go back and look, but in any case, but I mean, again, y'all, those are just excuses. Nobody cares. We just have to keep fighting and scratching and clawing. And this is part of what I just had a conversation with my staff about. There's a toughness factor I'm just still trying to instill in our kids on so many different levels as a coach. Sometime when we're out and we're having a cold iced tea, I'll share it with you. What any coach would tell you is working against you in that area and what's helping you in that area. And, you know, with this team, we're still trying to instill a toughness factor mentally and physically.
And it's hard. It's hard when you're crippled by injury like you have been. And one thing coaches always love is that they want player-led teams. You know, Sed and I talk about that all the time with other coaches. You know, after the Baylor loss, Roy Harmon, Taylor Jones were there at the press conference, and they called out their teammates a little bit, you know. And did you like seeing that? And does that help just the whole chemistry and what you're building?
Yeah, I think it certainly helps. Again, that's being accountable in my mind. That's not in there. You know, I'm not in there talking about all these things that we just mentioned. Like, I'm accountable. Hey, my job is to have my team ready to play. We obviously weren't ready to play. I'll be accountable for that. I think when you hear them talk about effort and energy and, you know, how they feel like they're playing, but again, consistency, developing that consistency within themselves, their teammates, and our team. And part of that is six new players, you know, that are all in your rotation for the most part. Not getting them all here in the summer, but getting them here in the fall, all of them. You know, Shaylee didn't show up till the fall. Sonya wasn't in here till late in the summer. Taylor was limited until practice in October because of her coming off her shoulder labrums and surgeries and all that. I mean, Hattie, same thing, had a shoulder labrum at surgery. So she was limited in the summer and in the fall. So we had a lot going on leading up to the year. And so we've had to combat that throughout the course of the season. So, but again, I love those kids being accountable. There's a side of me that knows, okay, I'm winning the battle a little bit.
Right.
They are learning a little bit, because to me in life, that's what it's all about. You got to be accountable. Your employer, I'll share this story with you. And this is, I share this when I talk to every clinic that I go to. When I was at Sam Houston State, I got that job in 1990. I wasn't no more ready for that job than a man in the moon. Being the head coach of the women's basketball team, I had no contacts in the women's game, had never coached, you know, a woman a day in my life, a female. Get the job a month after signing date. There's three kids on the team. You know, I signed four kids out of the newspaper and signed four junior college players that had already been picked over three times. And we go 11-16, 9-18, and 6-20. And when we were 6-20, my AD calls me in, and who had gotten the job because he lived next door to the president. He was the PE director. And the football coach who hired me, Ron Randleman, great man, great football coach. He was given the ultimatum after a year. Look, either be the football coach or be the AD, but you're not going to be both. To this new president that we had hired since I had been hired. And so he said, well, I want to coach football. So we hire a new president who's from a Division III school back east. So he's got no idea what Division I athletics is all about. He hires his neighbor, the PE director, to be the AD. So I go 6-20 and he calls me in and he says, Vic, you know, you're not doing a good job. And, you know, you got to do this, this, and this. And my response as a young, inexperienced coach is, well, Dr. Case, I'm doing the best job I can do. You know, I'm doing the best I can. And his response was, well, if that's the best you can do, maybe I need to find somebody else.
Ooh.
And so you have to be careful when you say things like that, right? This is the real world. And so that's what I'm looking to. It's what, as coaches, we try to teach these kids. It's not just about X's and O's. It's not just about wins and losses. You want them to learn accountability.
Sure.
Excuses just don't matter, y'all.
Yeah.
And we got all of them. I got them all. I'm reading this morning in an email I get from Just Women Sports talking about UConn and how Geno's got all these injuries too. And yet he's saying the same thing I'm saying. Stop talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Stop belaboring how many minutes you play. Stop talking about recovery and how you're feeling. You know what? Let's all do our job. Me as a head coach, trainers as trainers, strength coaches as strength coaches. Stop talking about it. It's what we have. There, you know, let's just put our head down and go to work. Whatever our job is, do our job.
Live in reality. Live in reality. You're right.
That's real life.
You have to take that mindset, y'all.
Yeah,
I'm talking about it. It's nothing going to be done. I mean, my best teams at Mississippi State, Morgan Williams played 38 minutes a night, even though I had a backup. Until Jazz was ready to play, Morgan played 35, 38. Blair Schaefer played 39 minutes a game her senior year. Never whimpered one day.
Do what you got to do.
Victoria Vivians played 35 minutes a game, by All-American. Tierra McAllen, she'd get pissed when I pulled her out of a game. I'd have to tell her, T, we're up 30. I don't care. I don't want to come out.
You love
those
that.
So the minutes play thing and all that, I mean, that's just a narrative that I don't even want. Let's just do what we got to do and go win a championship. We're in this position. You can do this your whole career as a coach, your whole life as a player, and never be in this position. Let's get it done.
That's right.
I'm just going to ask you, do you have enough dogs in that locker room to get it done, given these injuries?
Great question, Cedric. I think that's always been a makeup of my team, is that I just got tough kids, man. They just are competitive. They have a competitive spirit. They embrace toughness. They embrace being the tougher person. But I also think too that you create that. I don't think you're just born that way. I think that's something that has to be you creating in people. And, you know, it's hard to create that within a team when you have some of the things that we've had happen to us with all the injury. I got three kids with ACL standing around every day. I got, you know, kids that have to go over on the bicycle because they can't practice but half a day. That, to me, doesn't create an aura or a gym full of toughness. You know what I mean? You know, if your doggone defensive line is half of them are over there on the bicycles during sled drill, you ain't creating toughness with those guys.
No.
You know, same thing with your offensive line. If somebody says, they can't do that, and they're over there on the bicycle while your doggone freshmen and walk-ons are doing sled drill, you ain't creating toughness.
Yeah.
You know, because those are the guys that are probably playing your minutes, right? But they're over on the bicycle.
Creating more doubt than anything.
So, yeah. I mean, that's part of what we're dealing with. And again, part of what you know, I just feel like it's working against us somewhat. And we've got to try to find a way to navigate that a little bit better.
Last question I got for you, Vic, is that you're currently listed as a four seed in the bracketology. You know, top four seeds host first two rounds. That's critical. You feel like you've already done enough to secure that? Or do you feel like, hey, need to beat K-State, got to do something in the tournament? Or do you feel secure?
You know, I there's a side of me that I can be both ways. There's a side that feels like our power ranking is top 10, which is the old RPI, you know, strength of schedule bit. Our net, as before the game, we shouldn't have lost any ground just because we played a Baylor team who probably has a decent net as well. But we our net was 10 as of Monday afternoon. We've got one more game, obviously, on the road to a team that beat Iowa,
beat
Baylor by 20. And winning games by 20 is important versus winning by two. They take all that into consideration. So they just beat a Baylor team by 20. They've had some other wins throughout. So, you know, to me, we've certainly done enough. I think if you win the Big 12, I think that's plenty. Yeah,
that's our league, so
plenty good. And, you know, we've certainly beaten some good teams in our league, some ranked teams in our league by 20.
Yeah.
You know, beat Oklahoma twice by 20, beat Iowa State by 15. You know, you went on the road at Baylor by 13. So I think we've done some things that are good enough, but at the end of the day, we can control it by just taking care of ourselves, right? You got to go on the road. You're going to beat, you know, you're going to have to be prepared to play a well-coached, a team that's playing so much better. K-State at home on senior night.
13-3 at the house, Vic. They're 13.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's always been a tough place to play. And so, as y'all know, they'll probably have a great crowd Saturday afternoon. And so but again, we're in the position, y'all. Like, it shouldn't matter who we're playing. You're at home playing in front of 10,000 with a chance to win a title outright. Man, it's all everything you got. It's fight your butt off. You know, it's compete. And so doesn't matter how you feel. What matters is the moment, you know. And so that's where I think we're at right now with this group. We'll watch film with them today. We had yesterday off. We'll watch film today. We'll shoot with them. I'll probably give those kids, you know, a little bit more. And then we'll get after it Thursday, Friday, and fly out and go down there and play on Saturday.
Awesome. Don't walk under any ladders before then, okay?
Say it again.
Don't walk under any ladders before Saturday, okay?
And if you knew how superstitious I was, it's so ungood to be as superstitious as I am. And yet, Lord have mercy, I'm a creature of habit.
Oh man. Well, good
luck.
It's
going to be raucous at Bramlage, Texas at Kansas State, 4 o'clock on ESPN Plus. Don't be cheap. Get the app. It's so worth it. It is so worth it. It is so worth it. Vic, we appreciate it, man. Good luck on this weekend. And we'll see you when you get back and get ready to talk about a little Big 12 tournament.
Thank you all so much for your time and your coverage. I so appreciate you all. And you guys have a great day. Praise the Lord.
Take care.
All right, thank you, Nick. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
On Second Thought.
Well, Doug, Vic Schaefer is keeping it real about his team. And, you know, leadership is important, and he and Rory Harmon seem to be on the same page, but those others are going to have to come on, and they're going to have to get healthy.
Yep, and they better do it fast.
They better do it really fast because the money games are coming up. We got to hit on the men as well. Let a golden opportunity slip through their fingers in Waco. And Kansas won on Tuesday night. What'd they beat? Was it Texas Tech?
But it beat Texas Tech, and Texas Tech played really well. That was nip and tuck game until the very end, and then – you know, Texas Tech couldn't buy a shot and kind of let a golden opportunity slip away because you know, if Texas Tech entertains any illusions of being a bubble team and getting on, boy, a win over Kansas on the road would have been a heck of a feather.
That was their chance, Duck. That was their chance.
Duck. And now Kansas has another share of the title, 17th time in 19 years. They've just won this conference. And
it's not a great Kansas team, but they're going to be.
No, it's not a great Kansas team. It's not a vintage team. And honestly, I don't even like it that much. I mean, they're good. Don't get me wrong. They're good. But people are talking about them being the number one seed in the entire tournament. And it's not a vintage Kansas team. And Bill Self's done a great job in winning the conference, at least a half of it. So to this point.
And so. KJ Adams got a little banged up. Our Westlake's KJ Adams. Hope he's okay moving forward. The undersized center. But, Texas had his chance. And, now it's it's on the March Madness, but it's going to be a fun game on Saturday regardless. Kansas coming in here to the Moody Center to play the Horns. We're looking forward to that. That's going to be raucous. And anytime the Jayhawks roll into town, they bring their fans with them, Duck. So that's going to be fun.
And Texas plays tonight against TCU as of our taping right now. So
Wednesday Texas, played. They already played Wednesday night.
Right. They will tonight. Have already played when you watched it. Yeah. And that would have been a must game if Texas entertains illusions of splitting a championship with Kansas to make Saturday's game against Kansas relevant. So
that's the way they want to stay on that three line, that two or three line, and they got to win one of those two. So
yeah, I can't see them falling below three. I really can't, considering what they've done. You know, but a 2-3, the higher you get, the lesser the opponent. So every one of these games is important, and you probably want to win a game in Kansas City, you know, just to keep that momentum up. You don't want to, you know, they lost to Baylor, you know, TCU Wednesday night, tough game, and then Kansas, and you don't want to limp into the NCAA tournament. You want to keep the momentum, the confidence level high.
Doug, what are your feelings on the conference tournament? I'm one of those people. I don't hide from the fact that I don't mind the team going into the conference tournament that knows it's going to be in the NCAAs, winning one and losing one, keeping the legs going and getting back home and getting ready and being fresh for the real games, because NCAA tournament is the ultimate prize. Conference tournament is more about money and teams on the bubble trying to get in. Neither of these Texas teams is on the bubble. And I know particularly Vic Schaefer's team could really use some rest from with all the injuries they've had.
And it's a money maker. Everybody knows it's money maker. It's television inventory for ESPN to put something on to whet people's appetite. So, you know, it's pretty meaningless. The only thing it could really do is kind of hurt the top seeds, because, you know, they've proven themselves over what in the Big 12 is an 18 game gauntlet, played everybody twice, only double round robin in the country, I believe. So, yeah, it's kind of meaningless, but, you know, everybody's kind of got an agenda. You want to get somebody healthy. You maybe want to get a bench some playing times. You want to get people's minds straight. And but I'll say this, it's entertaining. I'll usually watch because it's high level basketball.
Yeah, it is. So the NFL scouting combines this weekend, and five Texas players will be there. Bijan Robinson, Moro Ojomo, Keandre Coleman, Roshan Johnson, and DeMarvion Overshawn are going to be there. And there are photos circulating on the web of Bijan Robinson absolutely ripped. Not like he wasn't ripped before, but he's added about 10 pounds of muscle. The big conversation right now about Bijan, Duck, is he's one of the top prospects in the draft. He's top three or four prospect, but the mock drafts have him going upwards in the 20s. The last one I saw was number 27 to the Buffalo Bills. Man, the devaluing of running backs is brutal, Duck.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he's still around at number 27, though. You're right. The running back has been devalued for years now and will continue to be, just because their lifespan and longevity, you know, isn't like, you know, a defensive end or a cornerback or somebody like that. I mean,
Or quarterback.
Or quarterback. So, you know, I bet he'll be gone by 20. You know, people will see the value they have and jump on him because they know what he brings to the table with great hands, great person, great vision, great spin move, great character. I mean, he checks every box. So I'll be shocked if he's still there after 20.
I wrote he shouldn't run in Indianapolis, but I know he will. It won't matter because they know what he's bringing to the table. That's kind of a slow track at the Lucas Oil Stadium, and it's faster here in Moncrief. I bet he runs 4.4 there and goes even lower here in Moncrief. I mean, he can fly, and big and fast equates. So I think in our take last week, you wrote that Snacks Colburn would probably benefit the most from this combine experience. What do you think his upside is in this league?
Well, he brings a big body. He's a good run clogger. You know, he's not to be confused as a pass rusher, but he can be a disruptor up front. And I'm not saying he's the next Puna Ford, but, you know, I didn't say he's that good, but I think we all know people were sleeping on Puna Ford.
That's his size.
He went to the pros. But, I think, you know, Colburn's got great character, too. He's a great personality. He's a great team guy. You know, he played in the Alamo Bowl, and he said, these are my boys. I ain't letting them down. I'm going to play. And, you know, I'm sure that kind of speaks to some general managers and head coaches, too. So, it's going to be interesting. But, you know, I think he picked Overshown to kind of try to shine a light on his skills. And I think he's got that speed. That's the one thing he can't coach.
Yeah, we had a scout come up to us during the season and said, man, he'd be shocked if he doesn't go in the third round because he can run like the wind. Mm-hmm. Because he can run. And that's what they're asking these linebackers to do now, Doug, is cover and go sideline to sideline and chase. They're not asking them to be Brian Urlacher or Zach Thomas, those physical guys that were getting 15, 16 tackles a game. The game has changed more. And so, guys like Overshown are like converted safeties who can run, not very big guys, and they're being asked to do a lot more than their predecessors.
Well, we've kind of buried the lead here a little bit. I sent you out to Dishwalk Field to fix the Longhorns. And I thought,
how did you jump on baseball so fast?
Well, not so fast. You know, they're 3-5. That's unusual. That's you know, that's why I say burying the lead, because that's not Longhorn-like. And they had a great atmosphere, a great opponent, and they played them toe-to-toe before giving up a three-run jack in the ninth. Just a couple things that jumped out at me, then I want to get your opinion, because you were there in the house. LeBaron Johnson, fantastic game. His best game as a Longhorn. He ought to be in the rotation on weekends. I think he will. And then the offense has just been abysmal. And EK is doing well. I think he's the only guy hitting over 286 in that lineup, and that's not going to win many games because I think their team batting average is 214, which is last in the Big 12. Now, their pitching ERA is first, but yes, their defense, again, is six. So, you know, it's like, what does this team do great?
Nothing. I will say this. If LeBaron can bring that consistency, if he can pitch like that, three out of four starts, then the Longhorns going to be in a lot of 3-2 type games this year. He was nails against one of the better lineups in the country. Three guys hitting over 410, I think, the top three in the lineup.
And between seven over 300.
Yeah, between them, they got one hit and eight plate appearances against LeBaron Johnson.
And strikeout.
LSU came in hitting 328 as a team. That is a murderer's row, Doug. And that was the one exciting part about this game. The Longhorns have scored 11 runs in their last 34 innings. Duck, that doesn't cut it. Mm-hmm. That just won't cut it. I know we've been around this team a long time, this program, and the offense is sometimes the last thing to arrive, but the thing that worries me most is there are so many unprovens on this team. And Porter Brown looks like he could be a star. But then EK has to stay healthy, and Dylan Campbell's the other holdover that played a lot last year. But by and large, Duck, I just don't know how good they can get offensively. I don't see anyone that scares me in this lineup besides Porter Brown.
Well, Dylan Campbell's been a huge disappointment. I would say the biggest disappointment on the whole team. Like you mentioned, he and EK, who has moved to center field, you know, were supposed to be the mainstays, the guys you could count on. And he's hitting under 200, not driving in runs, you know, hadn't hit a home run yet. You know, Porter Brown's hit three and has flashed and looks like a really good player. But you said it, there's so many unprovens and unknowns. And you got, you know, freshmen like, you know, Jared Thomas at first and Jalen Flores at third that are unproven. And it looked a little bit overmatched at the plate. Mitchell Daly moved over from second to short. He's not proven. He had a terrible offensive year last year. Guillemette, he impresses me. I think he's
a good player.
Guy from USC transfer, and they got some pitching firepower, but they're gonna have to maximize that pitching staff because they're not going to score, you know, six runs, seven runs in many games. They're going to have to nickel and dime it and play a little gus ball, if you will, maybe bunt a little bit more just to get some base runners.
So much pressure on Lucas Gordon, the Friday night guy.
Definitely.
And, Zane Morehouse, Travis Staley. And that's where LeBaron can come in and really help. David Pierce, he didn't hide from it. He goes, "We had a long way to go offensively."
Oh, yeah.
Long way to go. And they got to get that team batting average up to around 265, 270, or they're not going anywhere this year, Doug.
And two huge disappointments. Chris Stewart, you know, comes on, throws a strike, and then eight straight balls.
Yes, couldn't get it over.
To set up the winning rally for LSU, that's unacceptable. I don't know if we're going to see him in a big moment. Again,
might be a minute before we see him again, and I don't even put it on Andre Duplantier because he came in and Gavin Dugas was sitting dead red. He knew this guy's got to throw me fastballs. He's got to throw strikes.
They didn't have any margin for error after Stewart, you know, walked two, and then the bottom of the ninth, three up, three down, didn't register a peep. They just didn't put much pressure on LSU like Texas baseball teams do, manufacture runs, you know, EK aside, there weren't many difficult chances for LSU. So it was a little bit hard to know how good LSU is. I know they fattened up their batting averages early, but I don't think they haven't played the people that Texas has played. And now Texas is 0-4 in the SEC. That ain't a good sign at all.
I was talking to Jeff Howe of 24/7 Sports, and we were on the way back up to the press box, and we were talking about the record against the SEC, and he goes, "Say, could you imagine in a couple of years they're going to be playing against Tennessee and LSU and Florida?" And I mean, that is a great baseball conference, Duck. And
well, the SEC West was almost entirely at Omaha. And Tennessee was number one in the country. It didn't even get to Omaha. That's a dynamite league. It really is. So, but David Pierce has got to get him up to speed. He's got a year and a half to get him SEC ready. And like I said, he's got a monumental task ahead of him.
Man, can't wait. The rest of the season, a lot of season left for DP and company. They can get this thing turned around. But we don't have a lot of time left on this podcast, Duck. We need to put this thing to bed. We so appreciate Vic Schaefer for joining us and drop a little knowledge on women's basketball. And we will be back. A Big 12 tournament coming up. We're going to set the table next week. Spring football coming up. We're going to be all over that. And that will do it for episode 290 of On Second Thought. For the Duck Kirk Bowles, I'm Seth Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.